It's good to be back here at the Kentwood campus. I've missed you all very deeply. For those of you who don't know, my name is Michael Braden. I have the privilege of serving as the associate campus pastor at our Wyoming campus. And I would love to start today by, can we just give a shout out to those tuning in from our Nagpur campus and the Juvenile Detention Center? Can we give them a round of applause? Absolutely. Now, you may have noticed I didn't say the Wyoming campus is because there's something very special going on today. Some of you may not know this, but Kyle McRill, he is our latest hire at the Wyoming campus. He is our next gen pastor, and he is giving his first sermon today. And you know what? I imagine that at this time right now, he's probably up getting ready. He's maybe going over his notes. Can we just give him a round of applause? I believe that he will feel it in his spirit. Yes, be lifted up. Absolutely. It was a fun time going through this message with him and putting it together, and I know he's going to do a great job today, and they're going to be very blessed, so I thank you for that. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we are in a series called Crosswords, and we are looking at the last words of Christ before his death, burial, and resurrection. And what's cool is this week is that, you know, lately you may have noticed that when we look at these situations, right, we use the phrase that Jesus says, and we also look at an encounter that someone had with Christ. And there's usually two separate passages, but this week it all takes place in the same scripture. And as you remember from the video that we watched earlier, it has to do with the Apostle John and Jesus's mother, Mary. And I just want to acknowledge that this is a very awesome story, and it's full of truth, and I love it because it's kind of a story that you can easily overlook, but I believe it has a very powerful message. And I'm so glad that we are able to come together on a family worship weekend and go through this text, because I believe it is a good teaching for all of us, no matter what our age may be. So I've labeled today's message Circumstantial Compassion. And we'll be in the book of John, chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. Before I dive in, will you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for your word and your truth. Lord, I thank you that as we expound upon these final words that you say in the cross, Lord, we know that each one of these had something powerful in them, that you chose your words wisely and they weren't random things, but you had a specific purpose for the things that you said. And as we dive into these words, Lord, may you give us strength, renew our minds, and may your Holy Spirit just move in us and give us insight to your truth today. God, I pray that we will hold on to the things that you say and we will carry it with us out into the world so that we can be more like you. We love you, Father. We thank you for your word and your truth. We thank you for who you are and all that you've done. And we ask this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is what the text says, starting at verse 23. It says, "When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. 'Let's not tear it,' they said to one another. 'Let's decide by lot who will get it.' This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, 'They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment.' So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." So you get this picture in your mind, right? You have the soldiers taking Jesus' clothes, casting lots among them, dividing them up, who's going to keep them, not understanding that they're actually fulfilling prophecy that predicted this years ago. And as they're doing this, you have a crowd around Jesus as he's on the cross, and he has loved ones and family and friends around him witnessing this horrible thing that Jesus is experiencing. Here's Christ in agonizing pain, breathing his last, enjoying his final moments here on earth. And the text tells us something very interesting, that in the midst of his pain and suffering, Jesus takes a moment to reach out and take care of his mother. Now, I'll admit, when I've read this story in the past, I've easily overlooked this section, because there are so many more obvious, grander things that happen in the final hours of Jesus' life. But as I look closely at this text, there's something very profound in what Jesus is doing in this situation. You know, I got something I want you to do. I want you to imagine in your mind, see if you can recall, what is the last tough situation that you experienced? What was the last dark valley moment in your life? I want to see if you can remember that. I want you to picture that in your mind. Just take a second and think of it. If you got it, I want to ask you this question. In that situation that you were in, how often did you help other people? In that season that you were in, that terrible time where nothing was going right, where you felt like the world was against you, when you felt that the enemy was just hitting you over the head over and over again, how many times did you help other people? If I had to guess, I would say not very many. Because church, when I look at this story of Jesus and I think about my own life, I think of a hard truth, and that truth is this: in tough times, we lose sight of others' needs. Right? How am I supposed to understand what other people are going to or to help people with other problems when I'm dealing with issues in my own life? What kind of state am I in where I can help people when I'm in my own valley right now? How can I pick someone up and walk alongside them when I'm dealing with hurt and pain in my own life? It's so easy for us to be consumed and blinded by the things that are going on in our lives that it's very easy for us to miss the broken and hurt people that are sitting right beside us. But see, in this text, Jesus didn't do that. I think we all can agree, Jesus was in one of the most horrendous moments in the history that anyone could go through. Right? We wouldn't blame Jesus if he was thinking about himself because he was going through such a terrible thing. But Jesus didn't let that stop him from showing compassion to his mother. He said, even though I'm in the midst of this suffering, that I'm breathing my last, there's still a need that I need to fill. There is still someone who needs my help. And he pushed away what he was going through. He removed that from his eyes and he saw his mother right there weeping and crying for her son. And he said, Mother, I'm going to take care of you. Jesus showed this amazing example of compassion, even in the midst of his suffering. And church, I believe that that is what Jesus wants us to do in our own lives. That we need to always be aware and ready to give compassion to other people and to those around us. Now, you may agree with me. You say, Pastor Mike, that's great. That's a good message. I get that. We need to show compassion like Christ. But I don't want to get too ahead of myself. I don't want to assume that we all understand what true compassion is, because I feel like in our world today, we confuse it with other things. So I love to go back to definitions, to go back to the root of things and what do these words mean. So the definition of compassion is this. I love the way that Merriam-Webster puts it. They say the definition of compassion is sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. Now, that may sound like a mouthful, so let me kind of break it down in more layman's terms. Right? It's basically saying, I see what someone is going through, and I relate to their pain. I don't ignore it. I understand that they're going through a tough time. I see that they are hurting, that they are in pain, and that they need help. I recognize what they're going through. But then also, I find a way to act and to help them with an action. See, compassion doesn't just stop with feeling. Feeling is the beginning, but it leads to action. That is what true compassion is. But what I feel is that in our world today, what we actually do is that if we're not careful, we confuse compassion with empathy. Now look at the definition of empathy. Empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. Right? Empathy is the first half of compassion. They're basically saying the same thing. I recognize someone need. I recognize that people are hurting, and I empathize with their pain. I empathize with what they're going through. I say, you know what? I understand you. I'm sorry. Either I've went through that situation myself, or I couldn't even imagine, but I trust that you were going through a hard time, and I feel your pain. But empathy stops there. Where compassion and empathy differ is that compassion says, I see your pain, and I recognize it. What can I do to help you in the midst of your pain? What can I do to come alongside you in your hurt in this moment of darkness and just shed some light and just do a small part in your life? And I think a lot of times we get those two confused. And you know what I actually think, and it's just my own opinion, but I feel like when we're in the midst of our own darkness and our own tough times, we're in our own valleys in our life, it's easier and more convenient for us to show empathy towards people than compassion. Right? Because you can empathize with somebody from a distance, but compassion, you got to get up close. With compassion, you have to get your hands dirty. You have to actually act like you care what people are going through in their lives. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with empathy. I believe there is a place for it. But how many times do we use empathy as an excuse so that we don't have to show compassion? Because we feel that there's so much going on in my life that I couldn't possibly have the time or the ability or the power or resources to show compassion in your life. You know, I love in Scripture, you know, you may see this, you see this phrase a lot when you read through the Gospels. You always see this phrase that Jesus had compassion over them, or he had compassion over a specific person. And I love is that whenever you see that phrase in Scripture, it always follows up with Jesus doing something afterwards. It doesn't say Jesus had compassion and he traveled to the next city, or Jesus had compassion and he walked away. No, Jesus understood that compassion is not just understanding and seeing someone's problem, but saying, what can I do to help you? And Jesus showed that in this story. He could have said, Mom, you know what? I understand you're hurting and you're going through a lot. Hey, you know what? I'm gonna be back in 3 days. Don't worry. But no, he chose not to just empathize, but he showed compassion to his mother. He took that next step. I love the way that Lori Chandler puts this. She says, empathy is a gateway to compassion. It's understanding how someone feels and trying to imagine how that might feel for you. It's a mode of relating. Compassion takes it further. It's feeling what that person is feeling, holding it, accepting it, and taking some kind of action. Church, Jesus did not call us just to be a people who empathize for one another. He called us to be a church who shows compassion to one another. Not the people who just say, oh, hey, how's your week or how's your day going, and then just continue on down the road. But actually and genuinely caring when we recognize that someone is hurting and going through a tough time, that we don't just say, hey, it's okay, I understand your pain, but that we actually see, what can I do? We actually press in, how can I help you? God, how can you use me in this person's life to be a blessing? God doesn't want us to just stop at empathy. He wants us to show compassion. And you know, as I was pondering this, I kind of realized sneaky ways that we kind of use empathy, or we try to cover up compassion and make it look like compassion when it really is empathy in our own lives as Christians. You know, I thought one of the ways is when it comes to prayer, right? Maybe this is just me, but how many of you had a situation where someone's going through a tough time and your answer is, I'll pray for you, so you don't have to get deep in that conversation? Right, they come and they're bearing their heart and soul, and you know, it's not a convenient time for you. It's not the most the opportune times, but you say, you know what, I'll pray for you. And you know, we end up 5 minutes later, we forget what they even needed prayer for. See, if we're not careful, we understand that prayer is a powerful, wonderful thing. But if we're not careful, we can use prayer as an excuse, as a tool, so that we don't have to get close to somebody and that we can show empathy from a distance. Or I think also when it comes to dealing with the homeless, right? There's always that debate. What do? Do you give people money or not? And, you know, there's always been this back and forth. But my issue has always been, what is the heart of why you're helping somebody? Because I understand that if we're not careful, we can look at giving somebody a few bucks as checking the box instead of really diving in and have a conversation with them and getting to know them and finding out if there's a better way that we can actually genuinely help them. Instead, we empathize with our money instead of showing compassion with our actions. Instead of saying, Lord, maybe you actually can use me to help this person. Not just a drive-by where I just give them a few dollars and walk on, but actually getting to know them and knowing their story, how they got in this position. Maybe I can relate. Maybe I have a resource for them. But oftentimes, we just empathize because it's inconvenient for us. So I believe that Jesus, in this story, in such a simple move, he gives us a very profound truth. And that is this, that acting compassionately should not be determined by our circumstances. And my kid's point is this: we should help others at all times. See, if anyone had a reason not to show compassion in a moment, it would have been Jesus right here. He is hanging on a cross, struggling just for a breath, breathing his last in his final moments. And still, in this situation, instead of letting the situation be an excuse for him not to show compassion, he goes out of his way to help his mother. Jesus said, I'm not going to let the circumstance that I'm in dictate when I show compassion. Because the truth is, if we only show compassion when it's convenient for us, when our lives are going well, we're no different than the rest of the world. Right? The rest of the world would agree, yeah, it's easier for you to, you know, give some money to somebody or maybe pay for the meal to the people behind you. It's easier to do that when you just got a raise or got a bonus check. That makes sense. That's a good time to do it. But what about when you just lost your job? What about those hard, tough seasons in life where things are not going your way? The world would say, yeah, why would you worry, think about helping someone? You need to help yourself first. And you know, I used to have those kind of thoughts, but then I look at this passage and I'm like, no, Jesus thought differently. Jesus said, yeah, I'm breathing my last, but so what? There is a woman, my mother, right in front of me, and she has a need, and I know that I can fill it. No, it's not the opportune time. You know, it's not me gathered around feeding 5,000 people or preaching the Sermon on the Mount. It's not these great, awesome moments. It's a valley moment in my life. But that doesn't give me an excuse not to show compassion, because my compassion is not dictated by my circumstances. Christ set the bar as Christians that we cannot just do it the way the world does, and when things are going great, yeah, that's when we want to help people. No, he says, no matter what situation you're in, that doesn't give you an excuse not to love on other people. See, the world wants to tell you that when you're in those moments that you're no good, that you have no worth, you have no value, no one can use you, and God is like, I'm right here, yes, I can. I can use you to bless other people. But you have to remove this idea, these lies that the world tells you that you're no good or that you need to be better or more secure in order to be a blessing to others. And that's not true. Jesus showed us that in this text. You know, it was funny, these past couple weeks, me and my family have been really sick. And it was really annoying because, you know, one person would get better, and since everyone was sick, people would end up getting sick multiple times. You get better in the next couple days, you get sick again. And it was just a really tough time. Just aches and pains, a lot of crying and complaining, and just germs everywhere, and just not feeling good, and it was a tough road. And as I was putting this message together, you know, I was trying to think, like, you know, God, what is a good recent example where I was in a tough situation, and yet I still allowed you to use me to show compassion to other people? And church, if I'm honest, I couldn't think of anything. And I guess that's what gets me so fired up about this message, because the Lord really convicted me about this. And he made me think of when I was sick. I thought back, when I was sick those 2 weeks, did I even think about the needs of any other people? And the answer was no. All I cared about was taking my medicine and sleeping, because I was sick of the sickness that I was dealing with, and I just wanted to get better. And I felt convicted because there were people in my congregation that I knew were going through tough times. There were people in my congregation that I knew were ill in the hospital, people that aren't even alive today that I knew were hurting. And I didn't even think about them. Yeah, I was sick, but I could have made a phone call. I could have sent an email. I still could have been used by God to be a blessing to other people, to show compassion, but all I was worried about was myself. God, how can you use me when I'm sick right now, when I'm in this tough week? And God, the Lord really convicted me about that and said, I could have used you. There were ways, there were people on your mind, there were people that you knew had needs. But you let the lies stop you from being used. You know, I recently preached this message, and a congregant came up to me afterward, and she said, Pastor Michael, this hits with me so hard because I know exactly what you're talking about. She said, a few years ago, I was building a relationship with this couple that lived on my street, and I was really witnessing, especially with the wife, and we built this relationship. And she was like, you know, I recognized that I was really in a good time in my life. Things were going well, and I was on fire for God. And, you know, I was just trying to be a good Christian, and I was just trying to share the gospel with these people and build a relationship. And she said, but then there came a time where the husband ended up committing suicide. And he actually left his wife's number in the car so that the police would contact her first. And she told me, she said, I remember the wife reached out to me, and in this particular season when she reached out to me, I was really dealing with depression. I would stay inside. I felt unloved. I felt unworthy. And she said, this wife reached out to me, and I told her I didn't have the time, that I was dealing with my own problems, that I had my own issues to deal with. And she said, I'll never forget the next time that wife talked to me. I saw her face to face. She came to me and she said, you know what? I needed you, and you weren't there. She said, you talked to us all the time, and you were telling us about Christ, and you were, you know, building this relationship. And she said, when I needed you the most, you weren't there. And she said, Pastor, I realized in that moment, and after hearing this message, that I let my circumstances dictate my compassion. I said, I cannot help you when you're going, even though I know you're going through this tough, heartbreaking time, because I'm dealing with my own issues. And she said, I'll never forget that. That whenever people come to me and they have a need, that I recognize right there that I God is calling me to fill that. I can be a part of their life. There's something that I can do. But see, church, we all need to realize that there's always an excuse that we can make not to show compassion to other people. There's always something that we can cling to and say, you know what, this is just not the best time. And the truth is, it's not. But when we show compassion, isn't dictated on whether we're in good times or bad times. It matters in who we serve. And if we serve Christ, then any time is a time to show compassion to other people. If anything, the times we're in the darkest the most, those are the best times for us to show compassion, because it shows the world what Christ looks like and how Christ is different. It makes the world go, how is this person doing this? Do you know what they're also going through? How are they helping this person in the midst of their own pain? And that is when we point to Christ, because we recognize it's not in our own strength that we can do this. Our flesh wants to tell us to relax, to take care of ourselves. But Christ said differently with this example he showed on the cross. He told us, church, no matter what we're going through, God can still use you to be a blessing to someone else's life. Don't think that you're unworthy or unable to do so, because he showed us in this passage. Which leads me to my third and final point. Jesus gives us a model for compassion. And the kid's point is, Jesus teaches compassion. Jesus was the perfect model. He was the perfect example, because he showed us there is no circumstance too great where we cannot love on others. None of us have experienced anything like Jesus did on this day. And if it didn't stop Jesus from showing compassion, it shouldn't stop us either. And you know, another interesting thing about this is that, you know, the fact that Jesus chose to give his mother over to the Apostle John, right? Because Jesus had other siblings that he could have given his mother to. But I was wondering, why is it that he chose John as the caregiver for his mother? You know, it's maybe my own personal opinion, but I think that in this moment, Jesus wanted to give us an example of what the body is supposed to look like and act when it comes to caring for one another. I love this quote from John Piper. He says, therefore, one of the gifts Jesus gave to us from the cross was the church, a loving, caring, sustaining, encouraging family beyond family. I believe that Jesus chose John because he wanted to say this: you may not be my mother's immediate relative, but you are all a part of the body, and you should care for each other likewise. And I believe that's the same for us today, that we don't look at each other as just people who happen to believe in the same thing, but actually as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, so that when we're in the midst of pain and we're going through tough times, we don't say, well, have you talked to your immediate family about this or extended family? No, we say, what are you going through? I recognize your pain. I recognize your hurt, but also, what can I do? How can I come alongside you? Because this body thing, this bride of Christ, it's bigger than just me. And we are called to walk alongside one another and to help each other in our mountaintops and in our valley moments in life. That we are called to come alongside each other and pick each other up when we stumble, because that is what true compassion looks like. It needs action. And once again, it's just one of the ways that Christ showed this in his example. That, yeah, you don't have to be my mother's child, but I love you and I love her. And I know that you love her. And you guys are a family. You are brought together under my shed blood. And we need to care for one another in the same way. You know, as a church, we've been going through this discipleship journey in the life of KCC. And when we put it together, right, we went through scripture and we want to say, what were the attributes that defined a true believer in Christ? What does it look like? What are the attributes that a true believer in Christ has? And we picked out certain ones. And as we've been going through our messages lately, we've been trying to point out these attributes in these stories. And I believe without a doubt, the discipleship attribute that is shown in this story is loving others, right? A true discipleship of Christ is one who loves others, but not just one who loves others, but one who loves others the way that Christ did, the way that Christ showed us in this passage. That no matter what we're going through, no matter what type of season we are in, that we are always in tune with God and we are looking out for those ways that God can use us to bless other people. Because scripture makes it clear that it is more blessed for us to give than to receive. And we know that God has wired us to experience joy when we put our own ego and personal needs aside and when we care for other people. There is no better feeling of joy than when we give of ourselves to bless others. Because that's the way God created us. So you would think the best time when we would need joy the most is when we're in those valley times in our lives. If anything, that's when we should be seeking God the most to help other people, because we want to feel that joy in our lives. See, when things are going good, we kind of desensitize joy. You know, it's a good thing and we recognize it, but, things are going well, so it's cool, but it doesn't feel that great. But when we're in those valley moments, when we're on our knees crying to God for help, when we experience joy in those seasons, when we give of ourselves and help other people, it's an amazing feeling. So before I close, I have a challenge for you this week. It's a simple phrase, but it's not easy to do. And the challenge is this: in every circumstance, choose compassion. I don't know what this week is going to hold for you. It may be the best week of your life. It may be the worst week you've ever had. But I want you to choose compassion. I want you to seek God and believe that you can still be used by him to be a blessing in other people's lives, no matter what you're going through. I don't want you to believe those lies that you're not good enough, or that you have to get yourself together, or that you have nothing to offer to the body, because it's not true. Jesus showed us in this example, you can be breathing your last and still be a blessing to other people. And you may be saying, you know, Pastor Mike, what does that even look like? Well, you know, hey, let's say maybe, as I said before, maybe you lose your job this week. You got a lot of extra time on your hands. Why don't you volunteer somewhere? Give of your time to bless someone else. Maybe financially you may be hurting and struggling. Maybe you can carve out just a little bit to go bless someone. Maybe during your day-to-day, you come across a homeless person. Maybe you take the time, instead of just giving them some cash, maybe you actually hear their story and hear what they have to say. And God may be able to use you to be a blessing in their life. There are many ways that we can be a blessing to people. But if we believe the lies around us and think we have to be perfect and everything in our life has to be going well, we are missing out on opportunities to be a blessing to others. There could be people who are on their last whim, on their knees, begging to God for answered prayer, and you could be the person that helps bring that to them. So whatever you go through this week, whatever your situation is, whether it's on cloud nine or in the darkest you've been, remember Jesus' example on the cross, that there is always opportunities that God can use you to be a blessing in others' lives. We are called to show compassion in all circumstances, not to have circumstantial compassion. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for your truth and the example that you set in this story. God, we can't imagine what you experienced on that cross, the pain that you felt, the agony. But Lord, in your grace and mercy, you took the time out to see your mother, and not just to see her, but to meet her need. Lord, may we live like that in our lives. May we not believe the lies that we have nothing to offer, that our lives have to be on cloud nine and perfect before we can love on other people, but allow us to love people who are broken in our own brokenness. Because, Lord, that's where you show up. We know that you bless other people through your people, that you use us for kingdom work, and one of the ways is being there for people. And Lord, may we not just be on fire to share the news with people when our lives are going great, but may we be just as eager when we're going through valley moments ourselves. May those not dictate when we choose to share the gospel or when we share to speak your truth or speak into the lives of others. Because Lord, there are people that you have arranged that will need us in trying moments in their lives. And how are we any better than the world if we tell them now is not a good time? I'm dealing with my own issues. Maybe another day, can you talk to someone else? God, may we not be that way. May you convict us as Christians. May we see your example on the cross and say, no matter what the circumstance is, I'm choosing compassion the same way my God did. Because that is what it means to be Christ-like. So, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. May we take this out into the world and live it out. We love you, Lord. We thank you for who you are and all that you've done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.